The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me. So I am telling you, don't be fooled.
The real Eric's in jail.
And welcome.
Hey there, folks. What if the real Eric's in jail? You can't tell. I sound just like him. And we're just going to go with it. Alvin, you can't even tell that it's not me, can you?
No, but it sounds like I'm in jail because I'm calling in today. I'm phoning it in, as they say.
You are literally phoning it in. If memory serves, in hour one, you informed us that the reason you're not in the studio where I can see you is that you're actually at the nose doctor.
Yes, well, I'm en route at this point.
You're not even there. You're en route to the nose doctor. Now, is your nose sick?
It's sick. Yeah, it was. I had to have it in a sling for a while. I'm following my nose to the nose doctor. Oddly enough,
always follow your nose. That's my motto. Yeah. Always follow your nose. Well, so there you're going to the nose doctor. Is he going to cauterize it so you stop getting those nosebleeds?
It's a she doctor.
It's a she doctor. But the nose is masculine.
A woman. Mm-hmm.
But the nose is masculine.
It better be. It's on my face, so it's.
But isn't it embarrassing to have your masculine nose operated on by a female doctor? I don't know. I hope you better ask your nose in advance. Okay, now listen, my friend. You want to talk about nosebleeds?
Yeah.
Yesterday, my Donald Drains the Swamp book broke into the stratosphere way, way up. Everybody got a nosebleed because it was in the top 100 on Amazon. And I want to say to those of you who have, yes, exactly. If you bought a copy of the book, I want to thank you because it's because of you that we're in the top 100 on Amazon. That's phenomenal. Now, I know it's in bookstores across the country. By the way, if you go into a bookstore and this book is not someplace prominent, would you do me and the country a favor and bug them and say to them, can you put the book out someplace where I can see it? Because it's going to sell because people are intrigued by a book that says Donald Drains the Swamp. It's meant to be funny. It's meant to be a gag gift for people who don't love Trump. And it's meant to be a non-gag gift for people who love Trump. You know, does that make sense, Alvin?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know? You're on route to the nose doctor. Okay. Well. Listen. By the way, does your wife Anne know that you're seeing a female nose doctor?
No. Shh. Quiet, please.
I knew I was going to get their response because you really ought to tell her. You know what I'm saying? You know that Mike Pence has never visited a female nose doctor. That's just a policy that he has. Goes way back to Billy Graham. Billy Graham also said that he would never be alone with a female nose doctor. And as far as I know, he carried that out.
You're shaming me. You're shaming me on a national radio show. I'm being shamed.
Well, make sure you're
not
alone.
I like that.
Make sure you're not in the room alone with your nose and the doctor. Make sure there's at least another
present. Oh, okay. But she has two female assistants with her. They're holding me down while she goes and, goes to town, as they say.
I don't know what she's going to do on your nose, but I'm starting to not want to know even more. Okay, so here's what's happening. I'm sorry you've had these nose problems.
We're still on radio.
I'm so sorry you have these nose problems, Alvin, but it sounds gruesome. Okay, well, I was going to say I want to thank people for getting the book into the top 100. I mentioned that you know, the book is meant to be happy and fun and sweet. It's not vicious political humor. Stephen Colbert has a children's book that is vicious political humor. And it's, of course, not even a children's book. It's a humor book that looks like a children's book. And it's like number one on Amazon. So my book broke into the top 100. It's probably now it's probably at 150 or something like that. But I got to say, it seems to me that there are enough people that like happy humor, non-mean-spirited humor. And I hope they will buy my book and that Stephen Colbert's book will fall in the standing. So you can go to the Amazon top 100 and you can see where his book is and you can see where my book is. My book is not even in there as of this minute. But I hope that changes. Okay, now in this hour, we're going to have Bradley Bertzer of Hillsdale College. He's a history professor there. He's written a book on Andrew Jackson. But guess what? According to Alvin Sadar, who's on his way to the nose doctor, it is the birthday today of the father of modern conservatism, Russell Kirk. And Bradley Bertzer wrote a book on Russell Kirk. But because we recorded Bradley yesterday, we're not going to be able to ask him about that. So we've got to have him back to talk about Russell Kirk. Next month, we've got to have him back to talk about Russell Kirk.
Okay, let's look into that.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hello?
Well, yeah, I know. Alvin, I know what you're saying. There are a lot of great professors at Hillsdale.
Forget your eyes off the road and focus on this phone call. Okay, so seriously, we're going to...
Oh,
listen, I always have so much fun with you, but I've never had more fun than when we did the live signing the other day that was filmed on camera. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to folks, if you go to my Facebook page or our website or where you've got to watch the live signing. If you get my weekly email, you maybe already have it in your inbox right now. There's a link to it, but you've got to watch it. I do a live reading of the book, a dramatic reading. Alvin, it was dramatic. Oh, it was dramatic. I was chewing the carpet. Oh, my gosh.
Boy.
It was very dramatic and an Oscar-worthy performance. And also, you ask me 22 questions that I answer in rapid fire. 22 questions about myself, some of them really prying in a way that
made everybody
uncomfortable and prickly. It's just so much fun, and I'm so glad we did it. We need to do more stuff on camera, which reminds me, they're almost done building the studio up on 15th Street at Union Square, the TBN studio. They're almost done building it. We visited it. It's gorgeous. We're going to be airing almost all these programs in high quality. On if you're a Metaxas super subscriber, hold on to your hat because this is going to be it's going to be great. I mean, to see us on camera, it's going to really change things and be crazy.
We're not going to be able to do stuff. I'm going to bring my new nose with me.
Isn't that sweet? You guys go everywhere together now. It's so cute. Well, anyway, I guess I think I mentioned that I did Hugh Hewitt yesterday. I did Dennis Prager. Still haven't done Fox and Friends because they keep booking me for the weekend, and I'm traveling on the weekend. Tomorrow, I'm flying down to Tennessee. I'm speaking at Murfreesboro at World Outreach Church. They have a 5 o'clock service. If you want to get a signed book, they're going to be selling Donald Drains a Swamp and obviously all my other books. My Martin Luther book is out in paperback, so that's going to be there. Seven Men and Seven Women is out in a combined edition. But, you know, they'll have all my books as far as I know. But I'm preaching at the service, and I'll sign books after 5 o'clock tomorrow, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and then also at the 10:30 service on Sunday morning. And then I'm flying out to California. I'm going to the Reagan Library. There's an event at the Reagan Library. I'm doing the Huckabee Show. A lot of crazy stuff. But, Alvin, the buttons, people who want to get one of these buttons that say he's my caveman, if you go to our Twitter feed or Facebook, the information will be there also on the email newsletter. I just want to get all this out before we have to have an actual conversation with Bradley Bertzer because this is the fluff. This is the fluffy stuff. Oh, and also, please go see the Gosnell movie this weekend. Folks, this is the media blackout on this has been disgusting, absolutely horrifying, that you can't see advertisements for it anywhere. It's really outrageous. It makes me angry as an American. Go see the film. Help it succeed at the box office. This is one of the most important films of our time. I mean, that's not an overstatement. It's so important. So please go see it this weekend. Go with your kids, not little kids, but I mean, it's the kind of thing we all need to know about. Take the whole youth group. This is important. See the Gosnell film. And speaking about a media blackout, Facebook and Google seem to be suppressing links to what I'm doing with this book. I don't know if it's because of the president or something like that, but you think we're living in like a banana republic or in China? We're living in America. Yeah. And I just want to say to folks that you know, if you wonder why Stephen Colbert's book is like number one on Amazon, you know, he has a daily TV show, and the media. I hate to be one of these people, one of these cranks, but the fact of the matter is that I'm now seeing it with my own eyes. What they did to Gosnell is gruesome, and I'm seeing it with my Facebook posts. So I just want people to know that this stuff is real, and we've got to fight for freedom. And and I'm going to be on Shannon Bream's show tonight. I can't wait. Albin, good luck with the doctor.
Yes.
Tell her to keep her hands to herself,
okay,
though.
Okay, thanks. You too.
Okay, sure.
Bye.
Shield my head in the day of battle. Amen?
Amen.
Based on the true story of an army chaplain and his wife.
I only stand before you today because Jesus is my rock and because I have a family who loves and believes in me.
One marriage, one family under God.
It made me appreciate family more.
The theme of redemption was just so powerful.
If that couple can find help, I think we all can.
Indivisible, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters October 26th. For tickets and showtimes, go to indivisiblemovie.com.
With the U.S. Embassy now open in Jerusalem, the world is witnessing the fulfillment of God's covenant with His chosen people. What does this mean for Christians around the world watching these events unfold? In his new book, Earth's Last Empire, best-selling author and prophecy expert Pastor John Hagee unpacks thousands of years of history and biblical prophecy to answer your most pressing questions about the end times. Get Earth's Last Empire, now online and wherever you buy books.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447. 800-519-0447. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free. I want to personally thank all my Plug-In Pest Free customers who have taken the time out to call, write, and who have left messages to thank me for ridding their homes and businesses of unwanted rodent and pest problems. So from me to you, I thank you. Plug-In Pest Free is the only scientifically tested and, more importantly, consumer-proven electromagnetic pest management system since 1995. Why put up with those annoying rodents and pests any longer? Plug-In Pest Free is 100% chemical-free, making it your safest bet to manage your rodent and pest problems around your family and pets. With a 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com today.
Every time I
Hey there, folks. That's Ringo Starr, and I'm Eric Metaxas. Hey, I'd like to talk to you this hour about Andrew Jackson. Actually, I'd like to talk with the author of a book about Andrew Jackson so we can all learn about Andrew Jackson. The author is Bradley Berzer, or maybe it's pronounced Bertzer. I'm going to ask him when we get him on the phone here. But he's a professor of history and in American studies at Hillsdale College, one of our sponsors. You know that if you go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com, you can find out all kinds of stuff on what Hillsdale can do for you, because they really want to help educate all of America about what it means to be an American and so many things. But we thought, wouldn't it be nice, maybe once a month we could have them on to interview one of their professors and we could all learn together. Isn't that nice? Well, right now, folks, on the line, Bradley Berzer. Or is it Bertzer? Bradley Bertzer, tell me how to pronounce your name. That's really the first place to start.
I love it, Eric. And we could talk about your last name, too, right?
So, well, sure.
No, all my relatives say Berzer, but obviously the German is Bertzer.
But what do they know? Berzer. No, how do you say
exactly.
It? How do you say it? Berzer?
Berzer, yeah, just straight Berzer. Anglicized Berzer.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure, because sometimes, you know, you say Berzer and people go, no, it's Bertzer. And they kind of, you could tell that they're offended, you know? I have a friend named Kirsten, and if you say Kirsten, she gets offended. And so you got to be careful.
Exact same problem.
It's a real problem.
Same problem.
Okay,
but I'm really not picky about it.
But you really are Bradley J. Berzer of Hillsdale College, and as you know, I'm a big fan of Hillsdale. You've written a book on Andrew Jackson, and the title is "In Defense of Andrew Jackson." Now, Andrew Jackson is a storied figure, and without question, a controversial figure. Many people hate him. Many people don't know about him. I am one of the latter. I have to say, I've heard this, I've heard that, but I'm not someone who knows very much about him. I know he was a so-called Indian fighter. He's a hero of the War of 1812. But there's something about the time at which he was president that sometimes that's a lacuna in people's learning. You know, we learn about the Revolution, we learn about the Civil War, but there's something about the time of Andrew Jackson, maybe we missed it. So I'm really thrilled that you've written a book on him and you can tell us about him. So what do we need to know about him, and why is your book titled In Defense of Andrew Jackson?
Yeah, thanks, Eric, and thank you so much for having me on. I remember very well when you came and spoke for commencement at Hillsdale, and that was a real treat. So it's great to make this connection. And I also appreciated that you're playing Ringo Starr. That was nice as well.
Ringo Starr is a big Jacksonian, just in case you're wondering. Yeah,
I'm
huge,
sure.
Huge, absolutely. Yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah.
So let me just say that the "In Defense of" really probably should have been titled more accurately "In Context," rather than "In Defense of." There are certain things I think that are indefensible about Andrew Jackson, but one of the reasons I wanted to approach it the way that I did, and I teach the period between the American Revolution and the American Civil War at Hillsdale every year, and it's a blessing to be able to teach that. One of the reasons that I went this direction, and part of it was a bit mischievous on my part of it was marketing on Regnery's part, but I'd just gotten so tired of how polarized things are and how much Jackson has become the symbol, really, of all evil in early America. So I wanted to kind of challenge that. And I do think there are things about him. I mean, certainly, Eric, you know, for you, he's no Bonhoeffer by any means. They're very, very different kinds of characters. And he's very different from other people I've written on. He's right. No Russell Kirk by any means. But he was a fascinating figure. And I think in so many ways, for better and for worse, he really was kind of a great American, at least a great representative of what frontier America stood for in his own day and age. So, you know, we're not going to be able to defend his slaveholding or some of the things he did to Indians, and I wouldn't even try to do that. But I do think that I think the issues are very complicated from the time. And what I found, at least in my own experience, Eric, going through Jackson's papers, in a way that we don't see that often in modern politics, he was so honest and just so blunt. Yeah, there's no hiding with Andrew Jackson. You know exactly where you stand with him, no matter who you are.
Well, so you say honest and blunt. That's, I guess, one of the reasons many people have compared Donald Trump to Jackson. Isn't that true?
Yeah, you know, there are some similarities. I think But of course, there are differences, too. I think a lot of the things, the bad about Trump, especially the kinds of whatever is going on in his life outside of his marriage, that kind of stuff is not stuff Jackson would have done or would have put up with. In fact, he was so moral that it's another, I think, great point in his favor, how much he revered his wife.
So Jackson took that seriously. Did he consider himself a Christian, Jackson, or where was he coming from in that?
Eric, it's a great question. And he didn't write a lot about it himself, but he married a very devout Presbyterian. And we know that he spent really the last few years of his life, not only as a devout Presbyterian, but really spent the last 9 years of his life doing almost nothing but studying scripture and trying to get ready for the next world. And he's a pretty stunning guy. And I think if we wanted to think of him in that way, the best way would be to say originally he's kind of culturally Presbyterian, but then he really grows into it as he gets older. And
okay,
it means
so
a lot to him.
For people who know nothing about him, and I'm probably one of those.
Sure.
I'm always happy to admit my ignorance, but willing to admit my ignorance. But if somebody says, look, I know nothing about Andrew Jackson, why is he a great figure? Why is he on our $20 bill? Why does he belong there? Who is he? Tell us, who is he, and why would he rise to the level of being included, on one of our most used bills? I mean, that's a really prominent position. It's not Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's really significant. What is it about him that led people in the past to think of him that way?
Yeah. So, from the moment he entered on the scene in the 1790s publicly, he was a controversial figure. But just to give you a little bit of background, Eric, he's born in 1767 and he dies in 1845. So he is the very last president we have who actually fought in the American Revolution. He was a preteen when he was fighting, but he did actually fight as a 12-year-old and then as a 13-year-old in the Revolution. But he's also, as the seventh president of the United States, he is a very different type of person than the first six.
Right.
He's not from that Virginia elite. He's not an Adams from New England. This is a guy who's from the hardscrabble back frontier country of the Carolinas. And by the time he's 13, not only has he fought in the Revolution, but he's lost every family member. So he's in the world totally on his own with no money, nothing. And he really does build himself up and becomes kind of the great person of Nashville, Tennessee, really a kind of old Roman patriarch living there on the frontier and well-respected. But of course, as you mentioned, his name internationally is made when he defeats the British during the battle at New Orleans in January of 1815. And from that point forward, his reputation just continues until he is elected popularly to the presidency in 1824. But he doesn't actually attain the White House until 1828. And then he serves two terms. So if that's a summary, I mean, hopefully that's a good summary just to kind of think about. Here's this frontiersman, the Scotch-Irish guy, who's kind of a frontier hero, almost a legendary demigod of his day, like Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett. Certainly had that kind of character, but very different than the earlier presidents that we had had.
All right. And so how does he what are the things that he did that would make people hate him or say that we should take him off of a $20 bill?
Yeah, well, so the two biggest things, of course, and he's not guilty of this alone. There were many people who were guilty of this. He was a slaveholder. He owned a number of slaves. Obviously, slavery from any perspective is immoral and it's an evil. But even within that, he had a good reputation. That is, he was seen as within an evil system, he was seen as a fairly just slaveholder. And certainly,
but I don't really know. I guess I don't understand. Sorry to interrupt. But I was going to say, I don't understand how that becomes an issue, because obviously all of the people of that era were slaveholders. So we know it's a horror, but it really doesn't,
right.
When you think about any of them, George Washington and Jefferson and all of them, they were slaveholders. So I guess I'm thinking there has to be something about him that goes well beyond simply being a slaveholder in an era of slaveholding.
Right. So I think that gets lumped in generally with Indian removal. And the fact that not only had he been a slaveholder, but he removed all of these Indians from their native lands, which he did. There's no doubt about
that. Okay, when we come back, I want to dig into that, because that's the one thing, that's the big knock on him so to speak, that I've heard many times, and I want to get into that. Folks,
good
I'm
there.
Talking to a professor of history and American studies at Hillsdale College. You can go to metaxasforhillsdale.com. We will be back to discuss the life of Andrew Jackson with the author of In Defense of Andrew Jackson, Bradley Berzer. Stick around.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. You've heard about our Solera infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com, but did you know we also make the best gas logs for your fireplace? You've probably seen Rasmussen gas logs and fireballs on TV and in the movies. We've got sizes to fit all fireplaces, styles to fit every decor, and we even do custom designs for large and unusual fireplaces. Lighting these logs is as easy as pushing a button. Realistic Rasmussen gas logs look great even when the fire is off. For regions prone to power outages, gas logs are an excellent source of emergency heat with no electricity required. We've been making them since the 50s, so you can buy a Rasmussen gas log with confidence. So go to besthotgrill.com to find the products you need to keep you warm inside and outside of your home while eating great grilled food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
You gotta walk that lonesome valley,
lonesome valley,
and
you gotta walk
it by yourself,
nobody else
can walk it for you,
you gotta walk it by yourself.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. You want to learn about Andrew Jackson? I do. And that's why I have on Hillsdale Professor Bradley Berzer, who's written a book called In Defense of Andrew Jackson. We were talking about Indian removal. You know, that seems like one of those terms that what in the heck does it mean? What does it mean exactly? In his era, he was dispatched by what? The U.S. government to do this? Who told him to do what he did with regard to the Native Americans?
Right. Actually, Eric, he's the one giving the orders here. So it's when he's president that he gets through Congress. So the very first year he's president, he gets through Congress a bill called the Indian Removal Act. This would have been 1830. And the goal was to take the tribes, mostly in the South, but there were a number of northern tribes, even in Michigan, right here with the Potawatomis and Hillsdale. There were a number of tribes that were to be removed, and they were given land. The northern tribes were given land in Kansas, and the southern tribes were given land in Oklahoma. So there was an attempt, and a successful attempt, at least from the terms of the government, terrible if you're an Indian, but there was this move of those Indians, and ultimately ends up under Martin Van Buren, we have what was called the Trail of Tears, where the Cherokees were removed, and there was a lot of bloodshed involved, not because there was open warfare, but the removal itself was so brutal that a number of people died en route, like a huge number of people died, an outrageous number. So the removal itself was a disaster, but they were sent, the Indians were sent out right beyond the kind of 98th meridian, which was called the permanent Indian frontier, basically on the Great Plains is where they were put in Oklahoma and Kansas.
And so he's reviled for that because he didn't just execute it, but he was the one that was pushing for it.
right? It was one of his main things that he ran on for the presidency in 1828. And I think for a lot of people, so you were asking, why does he become this kind of this controversial figure? In the 1960s, there was a real move by the new left, and it wasn't always wrong. I think a lot of things they were doing, I didn't agree with their politics, but I think some of the ideas that they had were not necessarily wrong. The new left was trying to reexamine so much of what had happened in American history, and they kind of latched onto Andrew Jackson as the ultimate kind of capitalist imperialist, as they would have put it, right? A pig or a dog.
Yeah.
And they really kind of placed upon him a huge burden. That is, he becomes to represent kind of everything we did wrong in the 19th century.
Well, I guess
since
your book's titled In Defense of Andrew Jackson, let me ask you, let's try to get inside his head or inside the heads of the people who voted for him, knowing that this was the policy for which he was advocating. What was the issue? Because I'm not aware of why somebody would think the Native Americans of that era and place, why they would have to be moved. In other words, why couldn't we coexist with them? What was the issue at that time?
So, yeah, it's a great question. Of course, we really do have to put ourselves into an 1820s mindset. So the American Indians, very few of them still lived in the original 13 colonies that became states. And there are a variety of reasons for that. Many had intermarried and had essentially just become part of the American culture of their day. And if that was acceptable, it was certainly seen as something that they could do. Several had gone on and moved west on their own. So most of the Indians that Americans were dealing with in the 1820s and 30s were on what would have been the far western frontier.
Okay, so Nashville, like, where he was the frontier. Okay.
Absolutely. So we're talking no farther than Chicago, basically.
Right, right.
And so there are a lot of Indians out there, and you've got a huge number of Americans. This is something we rarely remember. But we call the period between 1815 and 1830 the Great Migration. And it's really when Americans, after the War of 1812, just flooded those western lands on the eastern side of the Mississippi. So really all the way to St. Louis and even to Kansas City. And in doing so, they really came into conflict with a lot of tribes and a lot of American Indians that had been in that region. And it was in so many ways kind of just a demographic overthrow, where you have so many whites moving into these regions and they're surrounding the Indians. Jackson was pretty concerned. A lot of people put a cynical take on Jackson, but Jackson was actually fairly concerned about the welfare of the Indians. And there were a lot of fights going on between whites and Indians. And it was pretty clear to Jackson that the Indians were being outnumbered and overpowered. And his desire was to move them west in order to get them out of the way, to kind of save them. And I think his motives were good. I think the execution of it was pretty rotten. But I do think there was something to be said about what he was trying to do. But this huge population growth, Eric, it's astounding. And it's really not like anything we've seen in the world. We know that at that time, women on the frontier, white women on the frontier, and actually blacks weren't much lower than this, white women were having upwards of 13 live births, you know, basically from puberty all the way to menopause. This was what was happening to young men and women. Right? They're just having baby after baby. So it is a huge demographic explosion. In fact, the largest demographic explosion in the history of the world happened right there on the American frontier.
I certainly didn't know that.
It's an astounding story.
Well, it's interesting to me that you teach this period between the wars, so to speak, at Hillsdale, because it really is, for me, certainly, a gap in my learning. I mean, you have little bits and pieces here and there, but to really think about what's going on in the 1820s or 1830s, I don't know very much about that time. And so it's just fascinating to think of where we were as a country and about this population explosion. We're going to be right back, folks, talking with Hillsdale College professor Bradley Berzer. The book is In Defense of Andrew Jackson. Albin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home.
I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe. And within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people. So check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
My business is at stake because the government told me I can't live out my faith in the workplace.
I was arrested for handing out the U.S. Constitution on my college campus.
A state law is forcing me to advertise for abortion.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. Our fundamental freedoms are under attack. But the good news is Alliance Defending Freedom is on the front lines providing free legal services. They're arguing some of the most critical cases in our courts today and protecting your freedom and the freedom of your children and grandchildren, but they can't do it without your help. Go to MetaxasTalk.com right now, MetaxasTalk.com, and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Your gift of $100 would help ADF defend your freedom and provide the necessary resources to fight these pivotal court battles. And thanks to a matching grant, your gift is doubled when you give now. Click the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at MetaxasTalk.com. Or you can call 800-556-2770. That's 800-556-2770.
Midterm elections are right around the corner, and it's obvious now the left will do anything to win. You may not realize that even your cell phone bill is used to fund liberal causes. So switch now to the nation's only conservative cell phone company, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile provides nationwide reliable service with unlimited talk and text and no hidden fees. Plus, Patriot Mobile automatically donates a portion of your bill to the conservative causes you're voting to protect. Keep your number, bring your own device, or select a new one from our great selection, including Android and iPhones, beginning at only $4 a month. Go to PatriotMobile.com to get started today, and when you use the offer code NEWS, they'll even waive your activation fee for up to 2 lines. Stop supporting big mobile and liberal causes and make the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Go to PatriotMobile.com or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. That's PatriotMobile.com or 1-800-A-PATRIOT. 1-800-272-8746.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Chat, d'amour. Take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird. Go and find my love. Chat, 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 d'amour.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking about Andrew Jackson to the author of a book called In Defense of Andrew Jackson, Hillsdale College professor Bradley Berzer. Bradley Berzer, welcome back. It's fascinating to learn about this period in history, and it really is painful when you realize sometimes things are just ugly. I mean, it really is difficult for us today to defend these actions. It seems callous, but it really is another universe. When you think about the world of 1820 or 1830, it's very hard for us to put ourselves in the shoes of those who lived then, because it was obviously a much more brutal world.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right, Eric. And you were saying right before break, this is an era that you're not that familiar with. I think that's true for most people. Even American historians tend to neglect that period. You know, we're always, no matter how liberal or PC the profession might be, we still like dating everything by our wars. So
right.
The fact that there's no major war between the War of 1812 and the Mexican War, we just kind of forget that period.
I even forget the Mexican War.
Yeah, so do most people, right? We just jump straight to the Civil War, and most people would know the War of 1812.
Yeah,
so it really is. But one of the things I love, Eric, about it, and I think you would appreciate this as well, this is a time period. It's Jackson, John Quincy Adams, Madison's still alive, Jefferson's still alive, Emerson, Hawthorne, Thoreau, Edgar Allan Poe. There are some fascinating people alive at this time.
Right.
And that's just to mention the whites. So you think about some of the amazing Indians like Black Hawk or some of these other guys who were just, it is a fascinating time in all kinds of ways.
Well, I can think of literary people from that time. But as I say, when I think of what the world was like, first of all, the world was, you can hardly think of what would life be like on the frontier compared to what was life like in New York or Boston. I mean, it's just
absolutely
an amazing time of growth. So what were the terms of Jackson's presidency of the years?
So he's elected in 1828, so takes office in 29, and he's in there for two terms. So is done in 37. So 29 to 37.
And he
is when he's in.
He really it is interesting because he was even early on. I mean, I know I can't remember where I read it, but even as a boy, he had controversy. You were saying that he served as a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old in the Revolutionary War, which is hard to imagine that a boy, right? Today we just can't imagine such a thing, and that he was captured by the British as a boy.
That's right.
And that there was this controversial thing that he was commanded by a British a colonel, I guess, to clean the British officer's boots, and he refused. I mean, it's an amazing thing that a young boy would refuse to do something. He's a prisoner of war. He's a boy. What is he, 13 years old?
Yeah.
He refuses, and the officer slashed at him with a sword. Scarring him on his head and his hand for life. And you think, what kind of a human being would you become if you experienced that as a boy? I mean, that kind of brutality. And then obviously the death of his brother. And, it's just another universe. This doesn't excuse some of what he did. But it's important for us to understand, what life was like in those days for some people, not for all people, but certainly for him.
Yeah, and Eric, I think it's important to note, too, that he really does come out of that very brutal Scotch-Irish culture. So it's not just that he's on the frontier, but his mother, who was, an amazing woman, and she died catching a disease, helping American sailors and soldiers during the Revolution. I mean, she gave her life, essentially, as a nurse. But she had taught him from day one, as most Scotch-Irish children were taught, that violence is the way men solve things. And that was ingrained in Jackson, as with so many people on the Tennessee and Kentucky frontiers. It was just very much a part of it.
Well, it's just extraordinary. I mean, I know that he lost his mother when he was 14, and his brothers, and that he blamed the British for that. And that's just one of those things.
His whole life, it shapes you forever. He never forgave him.
Yeah.
This is a guy who held a grudge.
Well, right.
Yep.
It shapes you forever. I know that we have a photograph of him when he was very, very old. I think it's from 1845, which is amazing to me to have photographs of people, born who actually served in the Revolutionary War. It doesn't seem possible. But so he does kind of span these periods. It's interesting just to think of somebody who would have been involved in the Revolution, who then lives as long as he does and really comes into another era, the era right before the Civil War, of course.
Yeah, what a symbol, too. And you're absolutely right. Of course, he would have had to have been super young in the Revolution for that to have happened. But I agree with you. Here's this guy who is remaining all the way until 1845 that carries that legacy and that memory. one that other generations had really lost. And the other thing, Eric, if you don't mind, I'll just throw this in at this point, that I love about this generation, too, you know, whether we're talking about Emerson or John Quincy Adams, I feel very sorry for them in a lot of ways. We revere the founders. The founders were their fathers. Yeah, and you can imagine, how could John Quincy Adams ever live up to what his dad did?
Right.
It wouldn't matter how great of a guy he was. He would never be John Adams. And I think that whole generation, Clay, Webster, Calhoun, they are desperately trying to prove that they're worthy of the founding. And I think it leads them astray in a lot of ways. But it also, I think it energizes them to do great things, too.
Well, it is interesting. I know also that he adopted a Native American. That's bizarre to me when you think about how he's perceived as somebody who hated the Indians, or who was, you know, his policies were catastrophic to Native Americans, but that he himself adopted a boy who was a Native American.
Yeah, you know, his prejudices were funny. Funny, strange. So, yes, there were certain Indians he disliked. There were certain whites he disliked, certain blacks he disliked. But in general, his rule was, you never commit an act of violence towards anyone who hasn't volunteered to be in front of you. So if a man wants to duel you, that's fine. If an Indian fights you, that's fine. But you never attack women or children, ever, under any circumstances. And he did live by that rule. So he was very violent. He was very brutal. But there were restrictions, his own kind of civilized restrictions.
Right. We're going to come back, folks, talking to Bradley Bertzer, a professor at Hillsdale College. The book is In Defense of Andrew Jackson. We'll be right back.
I woke up this morning.
Hello?
Hey, I'm so glad you reached out to me. What's going on?
I just don't see how my life can get any better.
What's going on? Why are you feeling that way?
It's everything. It just feels like everything around me is falling apart. If something doesn't change soon, I just don't know what else I can do.
You're doing something right now by talking about it. What's something you're concerned about right now?
Faithful Counseling is here to help. Our team of licensed Christian counselors want to help you get through this. We can begin a conversation when you're ready, by text or phone or even video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. I'd like to give you your first week free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Let's talk. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. We really want to help you. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Let us help.
Is gold and silver part of your portfolio? If not, let me tell you why it should be. The value of the dollar continues to diminish, and we're heading into a crucial midterm election that could have a substantial impact on the stock market. Noted economists are warning of a stock market crash. The time is now to secure your wealth with precious metals by calling the Gold Silver Group today at 800-679-0870. The Gold Silver Group is here for you with low prices and fast shipping on all precious metals delivered to your doorstep. Don't wait for politicians to decide your future. Safeguard your wealth from Wall Street, big banks, and corrupt officials. Whether you want a precious metals IRA or a private investment, don't wait for another collapse like 2008. The world is changing. Are you ready? Call the Gold Silver Group now for free information at 800-679-0870. That's 800-679-0870. 800-679-0870. That's 800-679-0870.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's Tom Jones, and we're talking about Andrew Jackson. What could be more whiplash-inducing than that? I don't think Andrew Jackson was the kind of guy who cried the way Tom Jones admits to in that song over and over and over again. He was a tough figure, really complex. I mean, I have to say, that's why I'm glad to speak with you about him, because it's so easy today, and it's so tempting for most people, typically people more on the left, to demonize people in the past and to compare them to where we are today and our standards. And that's mostly unfair. And it's not just unfair. It's actually silly because you can't get anywhere thinking that way. You really have to try to see people in their context. It doesn't mean you excuse things, but at least you have a more nuanced view of who they were. Jackson really is, he is complicated. I mean, it's amazing to me, and it's maybe one of the reasons why he's a figure worthy of study.
Yeah, hey, Eric, thanks for that. I love the Tom Jones. In another interview, someone actually played Rush's Tom Sawyer. I thought that fit kind of perfect with Jackson, but I like the Tom Jones. I agree with you completely. And one of the things that I've been so frustrated with, and I'm sure you have too, especially you're a much more public figure than I am, you know, just to see how polarized everything has become. And of course, obviously with everything in the Supreme Court the last few weeks, it's a brutal time to be in politics and to be open about these things. I think so many people have projected that back onto the past. And that's where I think it's not only dangerous to do that now, but it's really dangerous to take our historical figures and try and make them either into something we really want to make them either saints or demons, because they're human and they're human like we are. And they did good things and they did bad things. You know, not everybody can be a Bonhoeffer. It would be great, but it's just not possible.
I'll bet you that even Bonhoeffer wasn't a Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right.
I mean, human beings are, we're human beings. You know, Bonhoeffer was killed at age 39. Maybe if he had lived to be 79, we would have all kinds of things to say about him that aren't so flattering. And that's not to put him down. I mean, he is one of my heroes. But I think people are so complex. And you realize that, you know, speaking as a Christian, apart from Jesus, everybody is screwed up in one way or the other. It doesn't mean that we don't need to have heroes, and I've spoken about that a lot. I think it's important we have heroes, but it's also important to study people who are controversial and complex. And Jackson, to me, you know, he's the classic figure in a sense that there's a lot to admire, and there's a lot to say. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Now, at the end of his life, how was he perceived in his own generation? Has he become more controversial in our generation, or was he controversial at his time?
Yeah, he has a fascinating history. So when he dies, he really is considered a great man. Even his enemies are pretty quiet about his death, and some of his enemies will come around, and they may have disliked him in life, but once he's dead, they praise him. So he remains a pretty important figure all the way up until the 1960s. Now, in the 1920s, as you mentioned, he's put on the dollar bill, or the $20 bill, and there is some irony and humor in that because he was a hard money man. He didn't believe in paper currency at all.
Wow.
So I laugh about that. Sometimes I don't think he would care if he's not on the $20 bill. In fact, he may even duel somebody over being put on fiat money. You know, that's just a nice little humorous note. But it was really in the 1930s that the left embraced him, and he became a great hero.
I was just going to say, Arthur Schlesinger wrote a book about him.
Oh.
We're out of time. I hate this. Bradley Bertzer of Hillsdale College.
Great, Eric.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is In Defense of Andrew Jackson. Check it out and go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.